friends of our crucified Savior, our suffering Savior, Jesus. This is not only Ash Wednesday, but this is, as you know, Valentine's Day. That doesn't happen too often in the church here when they come on the same day. And so it gave me an opportunity to put together a service that combines both in one theme, even as we heard in the sentences at the beginning of the service. The theme, as I've said, as you see printed, is have a heart. God does. The very heart of our Lord's suffering is centered on the cross. The cross, which we are reminded of and its significance in every worship service here. This cross that reminds us that he died for you and for me, and that he loves us. You know, I think it would be meaningful for us to show our appreciation if we would do something that you've probably not done before. Rise at this time and let's pledge our allegiance to the flag. Would you rise? And there's the Christian flag over here, and the words that express also our allegiance and devotion to our Savior. And as we do with the pledge to the American flag, we sometimes put our hand over our heart. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. You may be seated. I indicated that you might want to put your hand over your heart. We do that as we pledge allegiance to our country, the American flag. Our hearts are a really vital existence to our being. We couldn't live without them. They are so essential to who we are and what we can do. And so have a heart is really saying it's as important for us to love others as to have that physical member of our body beating within us to keep us alive. Love keeps us going. You know, we use other expressions like you're breaking my heart, heart transplants, heart surgery, heavy hearts, broken hearts. Different expressions of that vital thought, the importance of the heart to our body and our being. On this Valentine's Day, we give our hearts, our love to others, sometimes with a gift or a card. You should have seen the line at Schnucks waiting for flowers today. Maybe you did. Yeah. Ways to express that love that we care about another human being. Tonight we have a look at the heart of Jesus and his love for us. Maybe it's not a new look, but just another look, hopefully a refreshing look at his heart for us. And then we'll consider our response to him and others. But first, I'd like to talk about that word heart. Do you have any idea how many times that word is used in the Bible? I bet you'll be surprised to find out. It's used nearly 1,000 times, telling us it's an important word. Actually, our word, the Greek word is cardia, and you can probably figure it out what we get from that, cardiac, heart. Yes, and also sometimes that word is interchangeable with mind, spirit, soul. When we say heart, you think soul, as in some of the readings today, that Old Testament reading spoke about soul as well. It's the seat of our emotions, our deepest emotions and feelings. Let's look at a few passages that address that topic. Mark 14:34, "My soul, heart, is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." This is the context of Jesus before his arrest. Arrest that leads to his crucifixion and death. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he takes Peter, John, and James with him. He wanted company in his misery. He wanted companionship. You know, we can identify. How often don't we want to be able to share our burdens with others, with God? And we do that in the fellowship, the family of the congregation, in prayer. Burdens of loved ones, our own experience of receiving that care and support if we're the one going through those difficult circumstances, dealing with those difficult problems. We often ask for prayers, and talking over with our Heavenly Father our concerns, those deep, dark, sometimes problems, gives us help, just as it did Jesus. He really sets us an example there. Example that worked for him, and we know it works for others. The studies show people that are prayed for have better results than those who don't. I once came across one of those studies that someone did. Later on the cross, Jesus' agony reaches a new intensity. He prays, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Wow. For Jesus to feel forsaken, abandoned by his Heavenly Father, really is quite amazing, isn't it? And it's amazing that the reason for that feeling of forsakenness is that he was bearing all the sins and all the sufferings of our life, past, present, future, and of the lives of all people of all times. What a heavy load to carry. You think about the fact, you know, our deepest sorrows and most difficult struggles are not able to be compared with the intensity of what he experienced bearing all those sins for people, for us. The wonderful thing is that just as the Heavenly Father never did abandon Jesus, he never forsakes us, no matter how deep our darkness, how difficult our circumstances. The hymn writer that we heard expresses it well. "God never yet forsook in need the soul that trusted him indeed." God's presence with us also reminds us of the reason of the need for suffering, the cause of suffering. And the heart figures into this as well, the cause of sin that leads to suffering. Genesis 6:5 reports, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Jesus understood the connection between sin and the heart. He observed, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander," and the list could go on. Think about our heart and life. Isn't it true that when we speak hurtful things to others, when we are lazy about doing something that we know should be done or we should do, when we're guilty of some dishonesty, all of those come from our inner feelings and, as was spoken in that word of Scripture from Genesis, come from the heart. And as Jesus said in Matthew's gospel as well. Yes, the terrible agony he bore for us was so that we would have not guilt, not anxiety, not fear because of those sins, but peace with God. That's the ultimate point of the cross and of Jesus' message, his life and his death. We who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection remember this over and over as long as we live. The baptismal font always a reminder of whose we are, that we have a mark, the mark of the cross made at our baptism, that very mark that we carry here this evening, the one that sets us apart, gives us that special chosen status as children of God, despite our sins, because of his death and resurrection. Jesus takes those sin-saturated hearts of each one of us, cleanses them with his blood, and makes us white as snow, makes our hearts white as snow. And that's why we sometimes sing and pray those words of David the psalmist, when we realize the beauty of that refreshing new life that he offers us. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then we experience that answer to our prayers, as did David. That's why God made the promise to each and every one of us, as recorded in Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's why our hearts are sometimes heavy and sorrowful. Jesus promises, because of the sin of our hearts and the guilt and fears and all, Jesus promises, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And later in John's gospel, we hear even more reassuring words from Jesus. So also you have sorrow now. Faith doesn't cancel sorrow. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Faith in that better day, that new day, free of all sin and sorrow. All this Jesus has done and continues to do for us. There's no doubt about it. Jesus has a heart for each and every one of you. He cares for you. He wants to surround you with that presence of comfort and reassurance. Yes, he offers us a helper in our struggles, to believe it, to accept it, to go on trudging through those dark moments and times. Matthew 22:37, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, we have a mission, we have a purpose, we have a reason to go on living, to share the love that he shared with us, the heart's love. Of course, we're not able to do that perfectly, And that's why Jesus came. None of us is without sin, faults, failures. That's okay. That's why Jesus came, to die for those sins. But he desires our effort, and through his Spirit, he empowers us so that we might make a difference with the purpose and meaning of those days yet ahead for us. And so he says in John 14, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That's the message that we go out of here each service with. The peace of God's blessing to carry on in the work he's given us to do. And he wants us to do that despite our sometimes difficult circumstances, our suffering and sorrow, to do that with thankful hearts. There's a man whose song we're going to sing at the close of the service, Martin Rinkert. And he wrote that song in the 1600s during the plagues in Europe that took many, many lives of his family members as well as members of his parish who were buried in the parish cemetery there in Germany. The author of that hymn knew what it was to go through suffering and sorrow, and yet he was thankful, because the song begins, now thank we all our God. We can give thanks not for the suffering and the sorrow, but for the fact that God is with us in those circumstances and through those circumstances despite our suffering and losses. I close with a little illustration. There was once a little boy who was celebrating Christmas. And as the scriptures were read, the heavens were opened and the angels sang to the shepherds and then hurried to worship the Christ child. He watched the wise men there bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then he thought to himself these lines of a hymn. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give him? I'll give him my heart. And may we do so also. Thanks be to God that he has given us his heart in Jesus our Savior. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.